Well, God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, and welcome back to the Power of Faith-Filled Words. And we're on session 8. And just before we go into this, I want to just recap what we've done so far from yesterday. We done session 1, which was the just shall live by faith. Session 2, we covered levels of faith. I just want to recap, just to get you thinking about what we've already gone through. Session 3 was faith is now, in the present tense, and the power of our words. Then in session 4, we looked at faith versus fear. Okay, in that fear, I shared that act of faith is the adversary, the god of this world against us, when we really, I know, are focused and captivated by fear. But faith gets God to go to work in our situations. Session 5, we covered faith for victory. That is our faith which gives us the victory. Our faith in what? God. The word of God. Jesus Christ is our Lord. Session 6, we covered a heart filled with God's word. If we're going to speak faith-filled words, then our heart needs to be filled with the word of God. Okay? And session 7 was Kim, and she covered death and life are in the power of the tongue. She's done a great session. And also, Heike covered the word doubt, diakrino, which was a fantastic input into the class, because it really showed you what doubt is and the two types of doubt that we've looked at. There was one doubt which is recorded twice in the Word of God, which is waver. And the other doubt really means not to consider the circumstances, not to think on it, not to analyse it, but just to believe the word to us. So this has been a fantastic time together, and now we're going to continue in session 8. And the words we speak, they are spirit and life. Okay, so in the last session, Kim taught on death and life are in the power of the tongue, and she shared that we should watch what we say, because our words will produce fruit in our life, whether they are negative and positive. And we have to remember, if we're speaking faith-filled words, this is going to produce great results of what God wants us to have in our life. And we can start to manifest his promises that are ours already. They're on offer, we take them. And we take it by faith, and we appropriate our heart and our mouth. We synchronize our heart with our mouth when we start saying what God says. But also, on the opposite side of that, if your heart's full of fear and you're speaking those fear-filled words, then you're going to produce a harvest of whatever that results in. Okay, if you're worrying about this, you've got lack, and or you've got sickness, and you keep saying these things, then that's what's going to stay there. It's not until we change what we say that we can change the outcome with the power of God, because we're looking to God, and God goes to work with our faith-filled words. So this is just really important to get into our hearts and lives. And you know, we learnt many years ago about believing and acting on the word, but this is like a new concept. Even though it's been there, it hasn't really been taught on much about what we say with our mouth, or it hasn't really been believed, because other preachers may have put down this speaking God's word out loud because they think it's a prosperity gospel or something like that, and they kind of look away to put it down. But when you go to the scriptures yourself, you're seeing the word that God speaks before he does anything. Jesus Christ was always teaching his disciples about what they believe in their heart, what they say with their mouth. So it's just really great to keep these truths in your heart. And when we finish the whole seminar, I encourage you to just go back through the scriptures. It's very simple class. Many scriptures are repeated to get that in your heart. So just remember, make it your own. Make it your own. Don't just receive it now, but take it away and make it become a part of your walk and your study. So let us look at Proverbs 18:21 again. And it says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So your words have power. And the words you're speaking are either death or they're life. They're either negative or they're positive. They're either giving life or they're promoting fear and death. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And I think we have to also recognize that as new creations in Christ, we have an old man nature which we need to reckon dead. And that old man nature shows up at times. And one minute we're talking blessings out of our mouth, and the next minute we're talking curses. And we all do it at times. But it's just as we you know, really focus in with God and determine to let our words be seasoned with grace, like Kim covered in the other sharing, that then we become more habitual in what we're saying. We become more careful with our words. And then it just becomes a way of life, a way of life to us. It'd be a natural reaction. So God has done his part. We have to do our part. So what we say with our mouth can make us or break us. We need to learn to build our heart with God's word, which builds faith. Fear is built in us when we listen to and pay attention to the world media like YouTube, which is rife with all different kinds of fear builders. We're not looking for fear builders. We're looking for faith builders. We are bombarded with information of wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, hurricanes, countries collapsing, a shaky economy, civil unrest, terrorism, other fake news like Planet X and aliens, and the earth is going to be destroyed, and that the earth is flat, and all these kind of lies. If you go on YouTube, you put any of these words in, you'll just get a host of videos promoting this rubbish. And also, when this thing with Syria was going on, and Russia and France and England and all the fear building there, you just put those search terms in YouTube and all the videos, this is the end of the world, this has been prophesied, people also using the word of God deceitfully, trying to predict this is the time now that Christ is coming back. Jesus Christ is going to come back at a time that we're not ready. He's going to come back suddenly. Okay, and that's why we have to be watchful, right? So all these type of things we have to be aware of, and if we're not keeping ourselves sharp on the word, then we can buy into the lie. Just like Kim brought into the lie that her parents said to her, she's big boned. And I've always said to her, that is rubbish, you're not big boned. And she never believed me, because obviously she was more closer to her parents, and which is understandable for any of us. We really believe what our parents have told us. So I used to believe everything my mum told me. Lawrence, don't go too far from the house because a man's going to come and snatch you. My mum left me in the park one day. And she said, you play nicely, but the guy that run the park was like a midget. Weird looking man. And he was the park keeper. But she went over to him and said, oh, keep an eye on my son for me. I'm just going home with all this shopping. And it was quite a way that she had to walk half a mile properly. And this man come up and started talking to me. Well, before this, she built fear and never talk to strangers. You know, they can take you and kill you. And this man only come up to me and I ran. I even ran so fast that my mum put the key in the door and I was right behind her, crying out of fear. My mum built so much fear in me, but her heart was to protect me and to look out for me. So she would tell me the most horrendous things that would happen to me if I didn't listen to what she said, just to keep me in check. And sometimes we can also do that, try and keep people in fear to keep them in check.
Yeah.
And it's wrong. You know, and even men of the Bible, women of the Bible, Bible teacher, preachers can do that to keep their congregation in check. Okay, but God is a God of love. And I was sharing with one of the believers in the garden, I said, you know, when God reproves us, even his reproof is so loving. If it was harsh, then we wouldn't respond. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. Now, God talks directly, okay, but it's done with so much love that we respond. When someone's being severely punished by their parents in the senses realm, the only time they will react to their parents and be obedient is through fear. Okay, and there's two motivators in life. It's either faith or fear. I was always motivated by fear. So when I said, you know, in other teachings before that I was full of fear, I was full of fear until I got the word of deliverance. So I started to understand these things. And then I got rid of fear by retamorizing the word, by remembering first the scripture, like 1 John 4:18, where it says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. For fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Psalms 34:4. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given me a spirit of fear. I drummed that in my heart. And every time I felt fearful, I would say these out loud. In my beginning times, when I took the very first foundational class in my life, I was completely delivered. And then when I get in situations that I thought is impossible to get out of, God can never get me out of this one, I've been in too many scrapes, and I've caused myself too many problems, and now I've caused myself another problem, then the word come that God, you know, won't allow me to be tempted above that which I am able, but will the temptation also make a way to escape? I was tempted to fear and sink in fear, but I looked to God, and he made that way, and he always makes a way for us. So just using these examples, I got all the scriptures, I can just go through this, but I really feel that I need to share now a little bit within this session.
The weapon.
And when I first met Kim, I was full of fear again. I come from the religious background, and especially meeting Kim made me full of fear. No, I'm only joking. But I can remember that we was in bed, and I always had my Bible with me. It was a different Bible to that one. And I had this dream. And in this dream, I was in America. And I was walking down the street. And as I turned this corner, there was a preacher. And this preacher was saying, who's going to stand up against this whole crowd that was against Jesus Christ and say they're a real believer? And I got up on that stand. I said, I believe in Jesus Christ. And the whole crowd started to chase me. And then, do you remember these Scud missiles in the Iraq War? They used to show on the news. In this dream, way before the Iraq War, in the dream, I seen these Scud missiles fly, and then they ripped up the pavement, and in the pavement there were dead bodies. It was a terrifying dream. I woke up with sweat coming down off my face, and I picked my Bible up, and okay, I just opened it, and I read the first verse, and it was Isaiah 54. It says, no weapon that is fashioned against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that rise up against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. For this is inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness of me, saith the Lord. And I was completely, you know, relieved and blessed and delivered just by reading that. And I told her the dream, then I told her the first of scripture I just read, and she was even blown away. And, you know, in that record, that word weapon, when you look at it, can also mean whatsoever. No whatsoever that is made to come against you is going to prosper. This is a promise that we can claim. Okay, and I just think it's just really wonderful. So when we say the word, I covered before in the other session, it's the entrance of God's word that bringeth light. We need to say boldly and declare boldly the word of God. You need to do that. For you, in order to do that, need to know the word. Find those promises of God. Make them your own. To remember it, just say the first. Psalms 34, verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Psalms 34:4. It's like imprinting that in your heart and your mind so that not only do you know the scripture, but you know the reference also so that you can go to it. And it also helps you in your witnessing when we're sharing and declaring the truth to other people. Yeah. So guys, build this word in your heart. Build your house upon a rock, not upon a sand, not upon a memory of a scripture. Because many people, when I've spoken to believers that do know the scripture, that haven't read their Bibles for a long time, they start misquoting scripture. They get hazy on the truth. God wants you crystal clear and sharp. And the way you do that is you keep yourself sharp. Just like an athlete keeps himself fit by continue to train. He doesn't just win the World Heavyweight Championship once and then doesn't train and go and defends it and keeps the title. He's going to lose it. He's got to keep sharp. He's got to keep on the ball. He's got to keep fit. And so it's the same for us. We need to do exactly the same. So let's have a look at this. When we focus on the things of this world, then you can become afraid. When you focus on all these things, this fake news, you know, about Planet X and the world being flat and aliens come in, and now the stars are lining up and Christ is coming back at any time. This Christ can come back at any time. Are you ready now? In your hearts, you are ready. Okay, be expecting. Here come at a time when you're not expecting. So don't focus on these things. Focus on the truth of the word of who you are. And I used to go and listen to all these things and watch these videos just for the fun of it, but it brought my faith down. It gave me an empty feeling. So I don't listen to them no more. I don't even watch the news no more. Sometimes I get glimpses of stuff and I think, okay, I better look at this so I can pray for a situation. And it all depends with what heart you're doing it. Isaiah 8:12 says, "Say ye not a confederacy to them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fears, nor be afraid." Don't align yourself with people that are saying the wrong thing, that are full of fear. Because when we start, "Oh yeah, did you see that YouTube video on Planet X? And there's another sun behind the sun, and it's coming to the Earth at a million miles." Listen, if it does, you're not going to know much about it anyway.
No.
You're going to be smashed out of it, gone. So don't fear it. It's all fear is false evidence appearing real. It's an illusion. The adversary is the god of illusion. Like he showed Jesus Christ all the kingdoms of the world and all these different things to tempt him to give in. Because the adversary will attack you at the point of your need. Jesus Christ was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, right? He was hungry and thirsty. He had a need. And what did the devil say straight away? "Make these stones bread."
Yeah.
He will attack you at the point of your need. And so just be aware of that. And be aware there's nothing wrong with being tempted. All of us get tempted. It's when you give in to the temptation, that's when it becomes broken fellowship. Okay, so these are just little things that can help you in your faith and believing. These little things that I learned helped me tremendously to get over fear, to keep my mind focused. Because if I was tempted in an area, I think, "Oh, I've broken fellowship." And, you know, and I would beat myself up, and the adversary would put a couple of boots in there and a baseball bat. Right, but I didn't realise until one minister said, "No, it's not a sin to be tempted." And that just gave me deliverance.
Mm.
Words of life. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's only when we give in to it. And then we got an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous.
Yeah.
Okay, so we confess our broken fellowship to God. "Father, I screwed up. I'm sorry, but I thank you that the blood of your Son has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. I thank you. I am righteous. I am justified. I am sanctified. I am redeemed. I thank you that I have the right to stand in your presence without any sense of condemnation, guilt or shame." How do I know these things? Because I've studied the word, I've read, I've been taught, and I'm instructed. So God has instructed you to remember these things, and this will keep you hot and without condemnation. Proverbs 10:24 says, "The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. The desire of the righteous shall be granted." Let God's desire be your desire. In fact, all your desires to live unto God is what God's placed in you. Just come into agreement with him and say, "Yes, God, I want that. Yes, I want to travel the world. Yes, I want to minister healing. Yes, I want to be a blessing, blessed so I can be a blessing." Come into agreement with what God says about you. Proverbs 1:33 says, "But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell in safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil." See, there's a fear of evil. Oh, terrorists. You know, we're being plagued by, you know, immigrants. That could become a fearful thing because the world is promoting it as a fearful thing. It can be a great source to outreach, great source to bring people from darkness to light. It's perspective, and we just need to get God's perspective. But usually our first reaction is the world's perspective because it's in our nature. Okay, but now we need to let Christ's nature in us be more dominant than our five sense nature. And that's a practice. Every day we practice these truths. Don't give up. Keep yourself as the world, God's champion, the word champion, by keeping yourself exercised in the word. So just keep exercising yourself in the word. Say the word to yourself. Proverbs 29:25, again, we read this. "The fear of man bringeth a snare. Fear will entrap you and case you. But whosoever putteth his trust, his confidence in the Lord shall be" what? Safe. So these are just wonderful records that will help you. And we're going to go to Isaiah. In another record here, it says in Isaiah 35, verse 4 says, "Say to them..." Now, what have we got to do? Say. How are we going to say?
Speak.
We speak. So that's words coming out of your mouth. "Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. then shall the lame man leap as a hart. Look at that, and that beautiful terminology. You imagine this hart leaping in freedom, right? And the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And God done that for the children of Israel, causing those rivers to run in that desert for them. And he'll do it for you. If you're in a desert right now, call upon Jehovah in the name of Jesus Christ, and he will cause a supply to come to you. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, in the inhabitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. God's calling these things, and he's telling his prophets to speak these things forth. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, those fools shall not err therein. Even the simple can walk this way of God. We can walk this way of holiness before our Father. And when you go to the left or to the right, you'll hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. God will tell you. He will show you when you're going off course. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go upon there. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. That's where we walk, on the way of holiness with God, where there's an abundant supply of all things, spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, materially, relationships. And then when we go to the left, there's another record in Isaiah. I don't know exactly where it is now, but it says, when you go to the left, to the right, you will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. God will tell you. You will know when you're going off course. And then you just respond and come back into agreement with God. Start saying what he says. Really beautiful verses. When we focus on these things, then you will certainly become afraid. When we focus on the five senses, the lack, the deserts, no trees, no blooming of anything, then we become discouraged. And as Kim was sharing about the sun, I was out there this morning. I was so blessed that she shared that, because I was looking at the buds coming through on the bushes out there, and then the sun was shining down upon me. It was about half seven, quarter to eight, and the sun was coming round. And I'm thinking, it's the sun that causes that to open. And you got the sun in your heart.
Yeah.
And when we line up our thinking with that, then it's, you know, we can have that growth. I think the word growth in the book of Acts, when it talks about growth, is the word oxano. And it means like a sunflower growing up towards the sun. So the flower is caused to grow towards the light. And it's the same when we speak God's word. The entrance of God's word giveth light. And then when people receive that, then they can start to open up and grow. And it's just so wonderful. When your head and heart is in this word, and you're desiring God to show you, then your heart starts to open up, your understanding starts to open up, and then we can start to comprehend God's wisdom, and we can have God's wisdom. We got the spirit of wisdom in the revelation and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Again, to reiterate these important truths. A good man out of the good treasure or thoughts of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure or thoughts of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Jesus said, the good things and the bad things of life come out of the heart, and they are released through your mouth. That's what he's basically saying. What's in here is going to come out there, and it's going to produce for you. Matthew 5:15-11 says, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Oh, Lawrence, you've got to stop smoking. Well, no, smoke may not be the best thing, okay, but it's not defiling me. All right? And this is what I usually say to people that go on about smoking to me. And I'm not trying to justify it, but I'm just trying to show a point. It's not what goes into me that's going to make me bad. It's what comes out of me that's going to make me bad. That's going to, you know, produce something in my life. So look at your heart like a computer. what data you feed the computer is what's going to come out from the computer, right? We need to program our heart with the truth and light of God's word. We want God's word coming out of our mouth, not the world's words. So just like whatever I want my computer to do and what programs I want it, I got to install software on that. So I decide what's going to go on my computer. You decide what's going on your computer. You may not have the same software as me. All right, you may have better software. I mean, I may have better software than you. Okay, but there's one software that we can all have, which is the best, and that's God's word. And we're the ones that program it into our heart. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith, believing, comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Psalms 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the what? Simple. Like the way of holiness, even the, you know, simple can live there. And that's where we need to keep it simple. Like simplicity in the giving, we need to have simplicity in our living. And we just keep it very simple. We don't overcomplicate it. And we just let God lead us. We know what his word says to us. We go to him and he directs us. And we simply do what he shows us to do. And when we do that, it's going to have great impact. Psalms 107, verses 20 to 21. He, God, sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. It's the word that brings deliverance. It's the word that brings direction. It's the word that delivers you out of the mess, out of the destructions. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of man. So this ends session 8. God bless you.